Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When a bunch of people asked me where I was going, I was like, I'm going to this battery like factory. It's called the Gigafactory. They're like, wait, so you're going to a place where they're just going to make batteries and you're excited about it? I'm like, you don't understand. Yeah. It's awesome. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
So those were some of the crazy fans at the Tesla Gigafactory party that I just got back from. Did you know anything about Tesla / the Gigafactory? Like,
did I
Tesla fandom?
I had no idea that they were like Tesla like fans. No, I know about the company generally, and I know about the Gigafactory and how that's a big deal. But like, I didn't know he had like fanboys. No.
Yeah. This is Nicholas De Leon, by the way, and I am staff writer Jason Kebler. So I went out to this party at the Gigafactory, which is like Tesla's brand new battery factory where Elon Musk hopes to pump out basically like thousands and thousands of batteries a year to make his Tesla Model 3 affordable. And basically they invited 2,000 of their biggest fans to just hang out there and say, hey, like, here's the factory where it all happens. And to go to this party, you needed to convince five of your friends to buy a Tesla. Like, not only did you have to buy a Tesla, you don't even have five friends.
I have five friends, to be totally honest.
That's dark. So you had to buy, you had to own a Tesla and convince five people to buy it. And so what I found was it was a lot of like doctors and surgeons and computer programmers and stuff
right.
like that.
Sounds
and
like was, a country club.
It was also a lot of like dads. Like there were so many cargo shorts there, and it wasn't like a formal event necessarily, but
right.
it was very it was nice. Like some people were dressed in like cocktail dresses, other people were wearing like khakis and slacks.
This was in the desert, though, so maybe the cargo shorts weren't necessarily.
Oh yeah,
out
it was
of place.
Super hot. It was like 111 degrees.
I mean, I would never wear.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat, as they say. But in any case, it was fun, and I'm glad I went out there. It was in this big like white tent out front of the Gigafactory, and there were all these like fake palm trees around, and this like sand colored furniture. Maybe it's gray, I forget. But in any case, the Tesla employees I talked to said that it was like Burning Man themed.
Oh,
and I was like, this is not exactly Burning Man themed. But it was really nice. There's like a lot of cocktails and a lot of like salami, oddly enough.
That's yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like anyways, I wanted to like learn who is a Tesla super fan and
right.
also like what is the anatomy of a Tesla super fan. And I also wanted to learn what Elon Musk is trying to do with this factory. So Elon actually showed up, obviously. It's like this huge event in the history of the company. And we're going to hear from him later. But first, I want to introduce you guys to some of the people I met there.
Which Tesla do you own?
I have both. I have Model S and I have Model X. And I've been Tesla supporter since inception. And if you look on the roads, it's basically like Toyota Camry of Silicon Valley now.
Yeah.
Like everybody's got one.
Yeah.
Like even kids are driving them now.
Sorry, so where are you from?
Beijing.
Okay. And why, it's so far, why did you decide to come?
Maybe join the Central Venture event.
Yeah.
I think it's a
event that happened once in 100 years. Once.
Yeah.
Once for 100 years.
Yeah. So, do you own a Tesla?
Yeah.
I had a very interesting 48 hours with canceled flights. And,
oh, my God, and, me too.
And my, oh, because of the thunderstorm.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I had to, I chose to drive, rather than take the connection flight, I chose to drive 7 hours from Salt Lake City, my connection.
Really?
Because I was on standby and there was no guarantee because the flight was full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why did you have to be here so bad?
Because this is, I mentioned this earlier to a friend of mine, like, this is the first time in my lifetime, and maybe the only time in my lifetime that I can say that I went to an unveiling of the largest factory in the world.
Unlike Nicholas, I knew that Tesla had this huge fanboy culture, but I had never gotten the chance to drive one myself. So when I landed in Reno, a Tesla employee gave me a Model X to putt-putt around the city and drive around Lake Tahoe all day. Car is so fast. It's much, much faster than my busted 2000 Honda Accord that takes like 20 seconds to get to 60 miles an hour. It can practically drive itself, and the whole thing just feels like you're in a spaceship.
What are we about to do? We're just going to go very fast.
Yeah, we're going to experience the ludicrous launch.
Okay.
So our track tonight is really to highlight the acceleration and the handling, the performance of the car. So we'll pull probably close to a G. In the acceleration, it is the fastest sedan in the world. Model X is very fast, but Model S, a little lighter weight, and just a little bit faster.
So. Yeah. So I was driving in here, or driving up here, and I had a parking pass for the Model X, and I had the windows down, and I took it from 0 to 60 as fast as I could, and it just flew out the window.
Well, once you're in, you don't need to
Yeah, I mean,
right?
I figured like you guys would understand if I lost the parking pass, because I was like driving too fast.
What'd you think of autopilot?
It was cool. I trusted it. Not immediately, but after I realized that, you know, it could stop. That was the thing. Like, once I realized it could stop, I was like, oh, I don't need to do anything. Just watch the road.
It's quite a sensation, like, giving into it a little bit. You know, it's also the realization of trusting it to do its job, but knowing that we have a job to do, too, as the driver.
Yeah.
So, that first time when you take a curve and the steering wheel moves by itself and you're not turning it, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I took it around the, like, mountains of Tahoe and, it, like, I didn't have to do anything. It was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
anything loose is going to fly, so no loose objects there.
I think I'm good.
Okay, yeah, just hold on tight to your recorder.
Okay. Yeah, we're up next. I'm very excited. We've got all this dust flying around. Is that from the car? That's not from the car. That would be insane.
I think it's mostly from the fire trucks that pulled in.
Yeah.
But just the wind kicking it up right now.
Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time in deserts lately.
Developing a theme.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're in a dust storm right now.
All right. Landing up on the launch pad now. Good. You probably want to put your head against the headrest there.
Yeah, oh my god, that's serious.
And we'll get a countdown.
Okay. Oh my god, let's go. Yeah! Oh my god.
80 miles an hour.
Jesus Christ.
And you'll feel as we take this turn, pretty good high speed
here.
Yeah,
oh my god.
And with that low
center
gravity.
Does not feel like a car. Yeah.
That battery pack in the bottom all the way down there is really little body roll.
Yeah.
So it hugs the road nice and tight. Lot of control on the car.
So as walking into the party, a Tesla owner stopped me, and kind of out of the blue, he told me how he raced his Tesla. And, you know, it was kind of an interesting story, but I thought, you know, this guy must be, like, you know, the only one who actually raced this thing. But then I started asking around, and pretty much everyone I talked to has a racing story.
Have you raced anyone in your Tesla?
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, well, one time.
Yeah, tell me the story.
So, yeah, there's this, I don't know what kind of motorcycle it is, but it had a big engine. We were going like 125, and I'm just like, okay.
Okay, so where did you guys come from?
We come from Germany.
What brings you all the way to Nevada?
Tesla brings us here.
So you are obviously a super fan. What made you want to buy your first Tesla?
Well, I'm convinced of the concept of Tesla, and I really like the car. I'm a car lover, and I like fast cars. You know, in Germany, we can drive as fast as we want.
I do know that. I'm very jealous.
And a Tesla can do that.
Yeah. Have you ever raced anyone in your Tesla?
No, I didn't race kind of on a racetrack like a Nürburgring, but I had some competition with guys at the traffic light, like Lamborghinis, and try to outperform them. Yeah.
How does a Tesla versus a Lamborghini usually go?
You don't need to ask. I mean, a Tesla beats them all, right?
It
at
does,
least
yeah.
The first, I don't know, 300, 500 yards.
Have you ever raced your Tesla?
I've autocrossed it.
I'm sorry?
Autocrossed it.
Autocrossed it. Yeah. What does that mean?
Autocross is when you have go to a parking lot and you set up a course with cones.
Okay.
And then people race for the best time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So everyone races their Tesla.
Well, that's a real legitimate race.
Yeah. All right. So I've been asking everyone this because someone just gave it to me, and everyone has said yes, so the answer better be yes. Have you ever raced your Tesla?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me?
give me a racing story.
A racing story. I don't really have a crazy one. I went out to the Maryland International Raceway. Actually, I guess it's actually kind of interesting. I live in Alexandria, Virginia. And I drove my Tesla all the way to Alexandria National Raceway. I filled up on the way there. However, by the time I got to the Maryland National Raceway, I was about, you know, halfway through. Of course, I was racing my vehicle, so that means I was depleting more energy, and so I couldn't get home.
Oh,
and
no.
And so I had a little bit of a, 300 miles to the charge is impressive until you start racing your vehicle.
So. Then it's not 300.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So did you get stranded?
I did not. I actually had to find a Tesla geek that was very excited to have me charge in her apartment. And it actually wasn't even her outlet. It was an apartment building. And so I parked next to a utility place that I was not supposed to, and I actually, borrowed some amps.
So yes, Teslas are awesome and people love driving them, but until the company can produce an affordable car, that's going to be an experience reserved for the rich. After the break, we'll learn how Tesla plans on bringing the cost of its cars way down. So Elon Musk's rough plan is to crank out a bunch of batteries at this factory using economies of scale to bring down the price of the batteries so that he can sell the upcoming Model 3 for about $35,000, which is about in line with the average new car cost today. I realize that this podcast probably isn't the best way to tell you about what's going on inside the factory. It's kind of advanced science, and the factory is something you really need to see to believe. So there's a story on Motherboard you should check out for photos and more descriptions, but I'm going to try to describe it anyways.
So the building is fully seismically constructed to prevent against any sort of like earthquake. We are on a fault, near a fault right now.
Okay.
And so the
see
factory
the
is
beams everywhere.
Yeah.
These cross beams
here.
Big seismic structures. So because the factory is south to north, we actually entered in on the side where raw materials will eventually come in. So we'll be bringing like aluminum, lithium, cobalt, all the different raw materials coming in on this end of the factory, and they'll be broken down here in the mixing, move through into cell production, into modules and battery packs as we move north.
It's this gigantic white building with a red racing stripe all around it. It's just kind of like, it looks like a shipping center, I guess, like sitting in the middle of the desert. It's nowhere close to being done, but right now it's pumping out Powerwalls and Powerpacks, which are Tesla's home and business energy storage batteries. So if you have like a solar-powered roof, you can stick one of these batteries in and use it at night. Anyways, the main idea is raw materials come in the south end and finished batteries come out the north end. The factory is about four stories tall in places, and right now lots of the rooms are totally unfinished and empty. And then other areas are kind of blocked off with these curtains because they use Panasonic technology that Tesla wasn't allowed to show us. And even Elon Musk said that the basic strategy is raw materials come in one side, a bunch of stuff happens, and then batteries come out the other side. Here's where the bunch of stuff happens.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Briefly, this section that you'll see that's open, this is actually for future machines, which is why you see a great empty room, because the other side of the room is great proprietary technology. So when people enter there, they'll get an air shower.
That's where the lasers come out of?
Just air.
It's got to be lasers.
Inside, there's all these like robots in the factory that carry around stacks of cells and things like that. And they're all very playful robots. They stop when they see you. They sing songs. It's very, very futuristic.
We're following paths. This is an AGV path, an automatic guided vehicle. So we have a magnetic strip laid under this floor for AGVs to follow. You can see right there. So hopefully we'll get one. Over there, I'll point it out to you.
I can't do a whole lot about the turnaround, but it does play Indiana Jones.
What's this guy?
Go in front of it.
Who is
walk,
he?
Walk in front
I don't
of
want
it.
Him to stop, though.
Yeah, no, he won't hit you.
I know, but I want to watch him. I want to watch him run around.
Give
I don't want to impede the robot's progress.
No, this robot's got everything. They would get it. That's why it's better.
What does he do? Oh my God. This is essentially an R2-D2 with, like, long arms.
Hold on. Here you go, buddy. Here you go.
Welcome to Long Duration.
And he's picking up a shopping cart. Oh, my God. There's like all these robots that are wandering around the factory, and I almost got run over by one. They have very good LiDAR and, you know, sensing vision, but like Tesla employees are like, hey, walk in front of this. It won't hit you. And it didn't, but I was like, yeah, they all have like little quirks. I mean, one plays like Indiana Jones theme, and then the other one just goes like, it's an R2-D2 type thing, and right. It like lifts things, and it's just like, welcome to Tesla. It's whenever it sees anyone, which is hilarious. But anyways, I think even for people who went there to see the factory, which I very much went to see the factory, but I also went to meet these people. And everyone I talked to was like, yeah, factory's cool. It's amazing. It's kind of empty because they don't really have that much stuff there right now. It's not completely done. They're like, we flew out here to see Elon. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably also wanted to hear Elon talk. So I'm going to let him explain what the heck this thing is and how it's going to work.
So Elon Musk is about to come talk. People are very excited.
You know, what is this? What's needed for the Gigafactory is the Model 3. So this is really about being able to make enough cells, enough batteries to make hundreds of thousands, ultimately millions of electric cars, and to do so at a massive scale and in a way that is affordable to people. So it doesn't matter. I mean, cars obviously need to be affordable. Otherwise, people can't buy them. So in order to achieve that, there are really two key dimensions that are necessary. One is to keep iterating the technology, to design the technology to be better and better, and have multiple versions. And so this would be our third major generation of technology, and then economies of scale. So we're driving those to the absolute maximum with the Gigafactory, and that's why it's so big. It's big for a reason.
There just wasn't enough factory capacity anywhere else in the world. We didn't have an option. You know, this factory will have the output of all the lithium-ion factories combined when it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. The basic math was that in order to make 500,000 cars a year, we would need every lithium-ion battery factory on Earth that makes batteries for phones, laptops, cars, everything, just to achieve that output. So it's like, well, clearly that's not being built, because you'd be able to see it on a satellite picture. Yeah, it's essentially designed like a very high-density, multi-layer integrated circuit, like an advanced CPU, which is actually when you think about it, it's like obviously how it should be done. And I think actually over time, the manufacturing process may look a lot like one of those super fast chip pick-and-place machines. It's super optimized for speed and density. I mean, if you think about how did we improve the capability of your phone or your laptop? It wasn't by making a really giant computer the size of a table. It was by increasing the clock speed and the density. And those same principles apply to manufacturing. So I'm really excited about revitalizing manufacturing. I think it needs love, and we're going to give it. We can fit 50 billion hamsters. So, but in terms of vehicles, we actually expect to get to 50 gigawatt hours a year of output in 2 years. To give you a sense of what that size is, total global output, I don't know the 2015 numbers, but the 2014 numbers for total global output of lithium ion for all purposes throughout the world was only about 30 gigawatt hours. Okay, so this is more than the entire planet produced in 2014. Maybe it was obviously more last year, but still call it roughly, figure roughly this one factory will produce as much as the rest of the world combined.
Yes!
And then as we get to a couple years later, perhaps 2020 or thereabouts, we expect that when the factory is fully built out, and like I said, you're actually standing, where you are right now is the middle of the factory. You're standing in the middle of where the factory will be when it's complete. So we should have another party, I think.
All right, Nicholas, thank you for playing my foil.
No problem. My pleasure.
You did a great job.
Well, I love factories, so.
Do you?
Manufacturing.
What factories do you love?
man, I've been caught in a lie.
So you're lying to the people.
I'm lying. That's what I do. I'm a journalist, yeah. So I like to lie to people.
Oh, God. Yeah, Radio Motherboard, where we lie to our audience. Anyways, thank you for listening. Sorry we haven't posted in a while. We've been working on a new podcast workflow, so we're kind of getting all the kinks ironed out. Yes, ironed out is the word I'm looking for. So after this one, we'll be back hopefully every single week. Please don't hold me to that, but we'll see you soon.
Well, who knows?
If you like us, subscribe on any of your favorite podcast apps on iTunes, tell your friends, etc. And we will see you soon.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.